Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 1 of the book that bears their name. And in this verse, Paul asked, "If you then be risen with Christ." We talk many times, especially on this particular day, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is a fact. But this morning I want us to consider the question or the statement that is put to the Colossians in this particular verse. If ye then be risen with Christ. I want to emphasize that as far as our salvation is concerned, we need nothing other than Jesus Christ. We need nothing but Christ for our salvation. In the second chapter in verse 9, Paul wrote these words of Jesus, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That is, in Jesus Christ, there was in him all of the Godhead that you could put in him. There was not a single vacant area in Christ, but he was totally filled with the attributes of the Godhead. We know that in Christ dwelleth or abides the totality of the attributes of the Godhead. Now notice verse 10, "And ye are complete in him." You are also filled with Christ when you are born again in the sense of your soul's salvation. You are totally filled with Christ in regard to your personal eternal salvation, and there is not another addition that can be made. So when we are in Christ, from the viewpoint of our deliverance, we are filled with all of the attributes of the Godhead, just as Jesus Christ in bodily form was filled with all of the assets of the Godhead. But we weren't always filled with the attributes of the Godhead. At one time, Paul tells us in this very same book that we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," in our natural state, that state into which we came into the world in our natural bodies, as far as our relationship to God is concerned, we were separated by our sins and by our iniquities. And therefore, we are said to be dead. So when we talk about if you then be risen from Christ, if you be risen with Christ, we're risen from the dead, and we were dead in trespasses and in sin. dead in our sins. We had no spiritual life by which we could reach out or reach up and touch God. Jesus referred to our circumstances as being in need of a new birth, that which is born from above. We were born from beneath. We were born in the flesh, but we need to be born of the Spirit. We are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. We are separated from God. But notice that we are quickened. That is, we are made alive. In the same verse, you hath he quickened together with him. To make alive in conjunction with another. We weren't made alive separate from the work and ministry and life of Christ. But we were quickened together with him, that is, in unison with him, by our faith in what he did when he died on the cross, which was verified by his resurrection from the dead. We have a conjunction life with Christ, a co-joined life with Christ. That's why when we are in Christ, we have all of the attributes of Christ, just as the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form while he was here on earth. We may dwell in Christ, co-joined to all of the attributes of God. Just another way of saying that we are complete in him. Not by ourselves, not separate ourselves, but in Christ, we are made alive in him. Now, in verse 12 of chapter 2, Paul said, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Paul said, in the act of baptism, there's also a co-joining of resurrection in the sense that Jesus was raised from the dead after his death. He was raised to walk again upon this earth. We who were dead in sin have been co-joined to Christ, and in his death we died, but in baptism we were symbolically buried and we were raised to walk in connection and conjunction with the life that Christ has given us, or in the manner that we should walk. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, through faith in the operation of God, which hath raised him from the dead. So we were dead in trespasses and sin. We believed into the work of Christ and received life from God, which is eternal, which is forever. And then we symbolized that we had died to sin by baptism, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. But there is another way in which we must also enter into death. Verse 20 of chapter 2 tells us, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ. So we were dead in sin, and now we're dead with Christ. But we have been raised from the dead in the resurrection that Christ was raised from the dead, because we were in him. And now we're raised in symbol from the watery grave to symbolize that we are now dead to the old life and raised to walk in new life. And he asked the question, wherefore if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments, that is, the ordinances and the fundamentals of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now, the ordinances that he's talking about are the ordinances of verse 14 of chapter 2, where Paul said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We hear a lot about the law of Moses. We understand that it was fulfilled when Christ died on the cross. When Christ was nailed to the cross, then every prophetic type of the Old Testament was fulfilled. Every symbol of Christ dying was fulfilled. His blood was no longer in type and symbol, but it was in literalness. Christ whited out, painted over, and forever set aside the Mosaic system of worshiping God. People were no longer under the Ten Commandments from the viewpoint of a death sentence. That is, when people broke the commandments according to the law of Moses, they were to be stoned to death, and that was a terrible ordinance. But we have been delivered from that ordinance in Christ and by what he did on the cross of Calvary. So we don't have to live by the law of Moses anymore. We're not guided by the Ten Commandments per se anymore, but we're guided by the teachings of Christ, which certainly harmonize with the Ten Commandments. But the death sentence is, you know, people talk about the law of Moses and thou shalt not kill, etc., 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 but they don't tell you that there are other verses connected with thou shalt not kill, which is you're to be stoned to death. They are principles of God, don't misunderstand me, but they are not the plan of salvation. They're not the plan of salvation. You're not saved because you keep the Ten Commandments, because Christ died to set them aside as a way of serving and worshiping God. But Paul writes and challenges these people, if you then be risen with Christ, have you trusted into what Christ did when he died on the cross? Have you appropriated that to yourself? Let me ask you in the language of the Scriptures, are you complete in him? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, are you complete in him? Are you full of him as he was full of God? He is the living water. Have you drunk the living water? He is the living bread that cometh down from heaven. Have you consumed or partaken of the benefit of the bread that came down from heaven in the form of the body of Jesus Christ? I'll say again, as I did as I began this message, and that is, everything we need to go to heaven is in Christ. Everything we need to be saved was done by Christ. And we are complete in him. We are totally filled with him, just as he was totally filled with the attributes of the Godhead. We were immersed into him in the sense of being dead with Christ. We participated. We were immersed in water. Now, if all of that is true of us, if ye then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above. Now we have a different focus in our life. Now we have different goals in our life. Most of modern theology teaches us that we have come to be Christians because we expect God to do a lot for us. We have made Jesus the slave and we have become the masters. God is supposed to make us happy. God is supposed to end our suffering. God is supposed to never let us be disappointed. God is supposed to wipe away all tears. But all of these things happen in the future, either with the coming of Christ, the institution, the millennial reign, or the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. If ye then be risen with Christ, then our focus must be on that which is above. And you'll notice why. Because that's where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. If Christ, who was full of every characteristic of God Almighty, was willing to die on the cross, be buried, and then rise again so that we could be dead with Him, so that we could escape being dead from the consequences of our trespasses and sins. If we have been raised to walk in newness of life by being buried in watery grave of baptism, if we have been raised up to show that we are a changed person, that we are now a delivered person, if we do that, then we have to live according to that promise that's made by the resurrection. Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, where Christ reigns in power, we are to set our looks, we are to focus our ambitions on that which is above, and set our affections. Now I know that brings to mind emotions, but really it has in it more the idea of our intellect, our mind, what we think, how we form opinions, and how forming those opinions affect us. Affection generally to us means sentimentality, or we care for something. Here it has in it the idea more of our opinion and what we think, and that which affects our understanding and our will. Let your thoughts dwell on that higher realm. Do that. Why? Why do that? If ye then be risen with Christ. Now, if you're not risen with Christ, you've never believed into Him, you've never trusted into Him, if you've never, because you have been born again, been raised from the baptistry in a show of death, burial, and resurrection symbolically, then you have no reason to be disturbed by this nor challenged by these words of Paul. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, your intellectual opinions, that which motivates and moves you and causes and creates the actions that you're involved in, not on things of this earth. For what? Ye are dead. We've seen dead about three times here in these scriptures, haven't we? We're dead in trespasses. We don't have spiritual life from the viewpoint of our salvation because we're dead. We can't accomplish it. We're incapable of accomplishing spiritual life on our own. God has to quicken us. He has to give us life. We believe into Christ, then we are dead with Him in the sense of what the law or the ancient forms of religion might claim. We're dead to all those claims. We have something new now. Not in a new plan of salvation, but a new form of worship and service. Then we're dead with Him. now we're supposed to be dead to that which is in the world, because we're going to set our affection on things above. We're going to consider that which is above, which where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. We're dead. Our life is dead. That is, this life that we live now, our lifestyle, if you will. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now we're still not through with talking about death. Mortify, same word we get mortician from. So it has to do with death. Mortify what? Therefore your members which are upon the earth. That is your body functions. The members of your body. We are to mortify them. It means to look upon them as though they were belonging to a dead body. A limb of one's body. So once and for all, put to death your lower earthly instincts and nature. Then he tells us what they are. Here's what humans do. Here's the fruit of our carnality. Here's the fruit of our nature as human beings. Here's what caused us to be dead in trespasses and sin. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and that inordinate affection would include sexual perversion, that is, being affected by that which is without sight of the ordinary. Evil concupiscence, that is, all kinds of evil, that source of evil that we're supposed to crucify or put to death. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For such things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And that is, these are the things that the children do who have not been raised by Jesus Christ, and it'll bring God's wrath upon them. But you have been delivered from the consequences of these things. And Paul said so in verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. That is, when you were alive in the sin of this world, you did these things and you lived your life in them doing these things. But notice verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. It's so extraordinary for Paul to say, if you then be risen with Christ, and the essence of it is, if you're then risen with Christ, then live like a Christian. I know that's an unpopular message, always has been. But if you be risen with Christ, if you've claimed spiritual life through Christ, then live the Christian life. Don't live the life of those who are disobedient to God and whose wrath will fall upon them. And he states these things, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Do you see that? For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Notice again, that Christ is all and in all. Christ was full of God, and we are full of Christ. And we have been raised to walk in newness of life. If you then be risen from the dead, put off the old man. Lay aside that which is carnal and live a life of spiritual integrity before God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye him. And above all these things, put on love or charity, which is the bond of perfectness or total completeness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see what Paul means by living the resurrected life. If you then be risen with Christ, it is a contradiction to say I have been risen with Christ and yet live a life that is stained and is filled with the things that the world is filled with. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then there are many other statements that have to do with our relationships. There ought to be a difference. If you say, I am risen with Christ, there should be a difference. Christ was not different when he was raised from the grave in the sense of his character and nature, because he never had a sin nature as you and I have. But when you and I, being dead in sin, being dead because of our trespasses, without spiritual life, when we trust into Christ and we're born again and we have spiritual life now, we demonstrate our new life by being baptized and being raised to walk in newness of life. And then we crucify ourselves and mortify the limbs of our body and the hardness of our heart. And now we live according to the principles of Jesus Christ. This is what we call real Christianity rather than a peddled commodity. Much of what you see today is simply a peddled commodity. It is a marketed church, a marketed Christianity. And so all of these admonitions have been set aside, ignored, and people have been told that this is the positive side, and this that I have said is the negative side. We need to get away from the negative side to the positive side. But I say with Paul, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and set your affections on Him who is our Savior. Stand with me as we sing, please.
This morning, I invite you to trust Christ.
Hymn number 246. softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Freedom here. And that's what it